Good morning, and greetings to each one in Christ Jesus, and with God and His Holy Spirit with us. Let's stand to pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you this morning. Thank you, God, for giving us this day. Thank you for blessing us and enabling us to come together and worship you and sing songs and hear your word. Lord, I pray that you, as our Heavenly Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, would touch us this morning, draw us closer to yourself. Lord, help me as I want to share. I pray that you give me the words. And Lord, all those that are hearing, Lord, I pray you'd bless them with hearing. Thank you for this morning. Guide us and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For this morning's message, I would like to echo what others have already shared. Here recently, Brother Ben had a message on the body, which was a blessed word to us. And I was inspired to share on this, and whether it overlaps or it adds to or just reminds us, may it be a blessing to us. The title of the message this morning will be In Christ's Family, the Church. And like many areas, we're able to read verses, and many times we can apply them in a way personally, and we can also apply verses corporately or as a body. And so we'll seek to do that this morning. If your mind and your thoughts as you came into church this morning was a billboard, what would it show? And that question I asked myself as well. If we were to display our thoughts as we come together and we want to worship God, what would we display? And some thoughts are, you know, maybe it is like we had the sharing there with worry. Maybe we have thoughts of many kinds, work-related, or maybe it's, the afternoon, maybe how that's all going to work out, or maybe it's family or sickness or other things. Or is it us gathering together in Christ's name? So if our thoughts were on a billboard, what would they show us? And I only ask that to, I want to use that a little bit to reflect on the opposite side and to see what we think or what privilege we have in gathering together as a church. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2 and 3 here to start. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. So, as an introduction here. And it says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. And I'm going to replace that, and I'm going to say in Comber. Unto the church of God, which is in Comber, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of this message is to expound on the blessings of being a part of the family of God and how it is healthy for us and how it can be a protection for us. We often refer to the word ecclesia or ecclesia, and the definition of ecclesia, a calling out, that is concretely a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, Jewish synagogue or Christian community of members on earth or saints in heaven or both, assembly, church. So this is us here gathering this morning. Now, I would like to go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, and expound a few, or mention a few things there on these verses. So, remembering the question about our minds being a billboard. And as I was thinking about these verses, it blessed me. And I trust for you the same. Often as we can hear in parts. And sometimes what we hear are, we can hear based on either how we feel or some conflicts we have whatever stage we are in our mind and whatever place we're at with God. So according to that, we often hear. But let us this morning hear the good words that are given to us about Christ's family, the church. Verse 2 there, 1 Corinthians verse 2 there. Unto the church, unto this gathering, the assembling of God's children. But there's a lot of power behind many of these words. So here he tells us, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. And then he gives a few more words here, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And just a few thoughts for introduction here. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Christ's church are those that are sanctified. And that is a great blessing. That is a transforming miracle that's taking place in our lives. It's not just a gathering together. It's not just many people in a building. It is those that have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. With all that, in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Both theirs and ours. We all together call Christ Jesus our Lord. Sometimes when we gather together in a building and it is for church, the impression is left or maybe young ones would think that church is all about those that are either doing children's lessons, song leading or preaching. Sometimes when we think of church, we connect it with the local body. For example, if something happened and you weren't able to go to church, there can be a tendency. I remember this tendency more from when I was at an age where I didn't want to go to church. Before I was converted, I often felt like church was just, it was a place where people, they gathered and it seemed more that people would gather to ease their conscience or they felt like they were a Christian, if they go to church, they would attend church. And the calling for us as the children of God, gathering in as a church, as a body, is so much more precious and higher than that. So we don't gather this morning because we have the bondage feeling that if I don't, well, I don't really love God then. I trust that because we love God, we come to church, not proving our love by going to church. It's because we love God, we come to church. And again, we'll go back to about the question, if your mind was a billboard, what would it display? And I asked myself that, and I was thinking about it, and we want to think about this a little bit just to receive a blessing. To think this morning together that we have all come together under Christ our Lord. We all, side by side, we all call upon Jesus Christ, and He is our Lord. It is not, as sometimes that it feels to be, that those that are in the ministry, those are, you know, the preachers, or they say this, or the deacons, they say this, or the Sunday school teachers, they say this. But as a body, our hearts are together, not, and I hope this is, that I come across in a way that's clear, that our heart, and I trust by with a few years maybe the Lord will teach me how to draw, I find that I often visualize something, and it'd be easier for me to show you, but I can't draw very well. So I know I could speak the words, and you'd probably understand it just the same, but I'll put it here, and I'm just going to draw a cross here. And what I want to prove here this morning, and I want to relay these thoughts carefully, is this. We have a body, a gathering here, and all of us together view, and you know, we our vision is to Jesus Christ. And I want to lift up a little bit here that our tendency on its own sometimes is that we focus within ourselves. And this is not to make, this is not a word of criticism. It's just that we would draw out our attention to Christ. So we gather this morning not so that you can just hear me, but so that you will be drawn to Christ. I think that is, as Christ is life-giving, and He is the one and the only one that can give us eternal life, that's how precious it is for us to gather together, and all of our view together is on Christ. So as I share this morning, then I would draw all of our attention to Jesus Christ. I trust that you will forgive my lack, and you will desire for God to give you the balance, the completion there. So we together gather, and we gather here to hear the Word of God. And I want to draw our attention to that God wants us as a body to be drawn to Him. One word that we want to keep in the back of our mind this morning is the word ownership. Ownership, who owns me, if I can say that? Who am I responsible to? And we would ask, you know, if there's a body, there's a church. Who is the head of the church? And it is our precious Lord Jesus. So again, we gather this morning, and I hope that all of our minds at this time can draw together, and we could look to our neighbor, whichever way, in front of us, behind us, beside us. We can look to our neighbor, and we can be blessed, and we can acknowledge in our thoughts, we have the thoughts, my brother beside me calls upon the name of the Lord. My brother behind me, my sister in front of me, she calls upon the name of the Lord. And so our focus as a body must go to Christ instead of ourselves. And there's a lot of detail we could go into, but we will not take the time for that. But again, just to reiterate, our focus is Christ. So I'm blessed to look at you and to be comforted that the brothers and sisters in front of me, they seek the Lord. They call upon the name of the Lord. And for any that would question, are you a part of the body of Jesus Christ? And I want to stress here that we would think about, have we been born again? Are we sanctified in Christ Jesus? So much of church life can be a great struggle when the key work hasn't been done. So a calling out to each one, to anyone, that what a blessing it is for us to gather as a body. And I trust if anyone has not been sanctified in Christ Jesus, that you will seek Him and that He could do that for you and for us. We know that this sanctification is an ongoing work, but may you be at a place where you've been sanctified by Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to just hear me, but don't receive it as a personal. I am not trying to tread on ground that would be personal, but I want to ask it this way. And I do not ask this because I doubt, but I do ask this because Christ is calling. So the question to you then and to me is not a question of doubt, but the question is that Jesus is calling, and have we given Him an answer? The question I want to ask here is, using the picture frame of Christ in our midst, if He came down row for row, and this is where I don't want to tread on any, and I don't want to overtread ground, but I do want you to really ask yourself, as He comes through row by row, and He'll ask you, have you been sanctified? What would your answer be? And I know for many of us here, I know what your answer would be, and praise the Lord. Is there any, and if there be any feel not condemned, but sense the calling. So if there's any that feel like they're not at a place where they can testify that they have been sanctified by Christ Jesus, then just hear the calling, not that you would feel condemned. Are you one, as we've gathered here, and Christ would come through the rows, would you say, and would you call upon his name as your Lord and Savior? He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be, he wants us to call upon him. Now, I hope I have drawn your attention to I know that it tends to be a bit of a sober place, but there is a very powerful joy that comes, that will be coming, that'll come further. In our context this morning, we want to come out of, our thoughts are going to be that we would belong to a gathering, that we would belong to a church, and that will be Christ Church. We do know there is the global body, praise the Lord, and we want to be part of that. But here, the letters that we'll be reading, they were written specifically to specific groups, and I just want to draw our attention there the same way that I want to draw an attention, or I want you to be drawn in, that you will ask yourself the question, number one, are you walking with God? Have you been sanctified? And number two, are you part of a body? Yes, are you part of the global body? But are you part of the local body? Now, the first question I asked was, have you been sanctified? If the question is yes, then the second question comes, are you part of a body? And the greatest encouragement I could give you is, seek to be part of a body. Again, here's where I'd like to draw, but God did not come. God did not come, and there's a great danger in many, to think which thought to complete first. God did not come to create independent little brides, as we might call it. And if any of you have a fear, if you have a fear or if something is hindering you in becoming part of the body, and maybe this is where we'll connect Brother John's message, his message this morning. If you have a worry about being part of his body, I want to really encourage you. If you go through the Word of God and you see how often the Word is written in a corporate context, in a church body context, there is so much written that you cannot be part of if you are not part of the body. Yes, you can serve. You can still serve outside of being a body. And yet it is much better, and we'll get into a few verses there. Life, God has called us to be part of a body and not independent bodies. It would be better if we were all together. And I know quite a few verses I'll read today have been read multiple times by different brothers, and I think that's a blessing, but we'll read them again. Now we're going to look at, as we've asked ourselves, you know, am I sanctified? Am I part of the body? We want to look at, what forms the body or the building together of a body. And we'll go on through more verses there. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to write the two words here. the thought again on ownership. I know it doesn't sound right, and yet in the mind it tends to be that way sometimes. It is for me. If I were to ask, under whose ownership are we? Who are we? Who will be our judge, or who are we responsible to? We would all answer that it's Jesus Christ. And yet, I would just remind us and myself that we don't always view it that way and live it that way. So we're just going to make that mental connection. We're going to read about the church, but there is an aspect of ownership that comes with this topic. And second, I want us to think of this word as we will read, foundation. Ephesians 2, verse 17. We'll read up to verse 22. Ephesians 2, verse 17 to 22. Now this is written to a church, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Verse 17, we have heard the preaching. It's to those that were afar off and to those that are nigh. And as we think about this, well, let's read verse 18 one more time. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And I want to insert a thought here. We have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And we want to remember here that we have been born again. We want to remember the rejoicing that took place, the freedom that we experienced as we gave our lives over to Christ. I feel, and again, maybe I read into this a bit much, but I feel sometimes it is too easy to read into it or to read and not to see many connections. So here, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Note, who has access by one Spirit unto the Father? Those that are sanctified. Again, I'm going to just share my thoughts here, not those that just attend church. I'm going to, as I share through this, my heart is not to point out those who do not and all of those things. My heart is to point out the need and the blessing in those that do. So, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Herein we rejoice. We have access to a Father who has given us eternal life, who has seen it fit that through the blood of Christ that we should not stand condemned and go and face judgment that way. He has given us life. So as we read verse 18, our spirits lift and we say, thank you, Lord, that I can come to the Father by one Spirit. Then it says, verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Again, we rejoice. Why? Because as we think of the word ownership, we make the connection here that we are not strangers to the ways of Christ. We're not strangers to the gospel. We're not loaded full of debt. We're not loaded full of sin and burdens. We're not continually desiring evil and letting sin reign over us. Yet we have been redeemed. We are overcomers. We have victory in Christ. So in one sense, we sing the victory song with him, and the ways of God have become familiar to us. Then verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I was thinking about this verse here. You know, the things that the prophets would prophesy and teach, and the gospel that the apostles were preaching. All of this has become alive to us. It's become real to us. And I want to, again, just insert here, many times we can hear, we can desire to be in fellowship with God, but we seek it outside of Him. So here, as thinking about this, you know, for us to hear the gospel that the apostles preached, the way of life that they have preached, and what is taking place here is we have become familiar with those ways. It is like Christ Jesus teaching us, and we have in our hearts accepted His way, we love His way, and we become like Him, like a little Christ. Same as the prophets, the things that they have prophesied, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would give His life for us. We have accepted. So much connects together in order for this to be complete. And Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. See, this is why this here is incorrect. We don't have, Christ's body is not that you get saved and for the rest of your life you plan to be saved, but you don't belong and you cannot submit or you cannot fellowship together with, you can't come to being part of a body. Jesus didn't come here just, He came to save each soul, but not that we would have many little foundations or many blocks, many Christians outside of His body. And if you see what it is, if you study and look into the heart of God and working in a body and how it works outwards, then you see very clearly the heart of God is that we would be together in one body. So we have Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And you and I are not over here. This is not the building that He's building. Then we have the prophets, apostles, and we'll say that we are up here. I want that picture because, as we read, it is Jesus Christ and Him before even creation of this world. But we have Jesus Christ as a cornerstone. We have what the apostles taught and what the prophets taught. See, all these things, they line up in our hearts. They're not outside of what they have preached. I didn't fear death and damnation, so I quickly accepted Jesus Christ over here and said, there, now I can go to heaven. And many times, the many struggles that come with this, and we realize the cultivating of God's children can be a lot of work. But Christ wanted it this way, that it's a building up. Let's read the verse here. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Referring to the apostles, prophets, and Jesus Christ. Those three, in whom all the building fitly together. Those three are fitly built together unto an holy temple. And then verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we have Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the apostles and the prophets, and us. And us all together, we become a temple where God dwells. Now, I don't know if this sounds very sober to you, but that is life-giving. That is something to rejoice in, that we are in this temple and God dwells there. I do not want to emphasize a body or as a church, and I want to be clear here. I don't want to emphasize, and one example is church membership. That is not what I'm emphasizing. I'm emphasizing the whole, if you had a timeline, getting saved, walking with God, being part of a church, being part of a body, having fruits coming from our life, serving others, and the whole prospect that comes from that as the world sees our love and us dwelling together, the whole aspect of edifying one another, there is a lot that comes together. For example, is there any reason for you to be a member of a church if you don't plan to be part of the edifying of the body? In many places, Jesus says, he gives, or even Paul here, writing about a body, and a heavy emphasis is to the edifying of one another. Then he says, so that we would become perfect. This is to be part of a body. We're not seeking membership. Now, I trust you will become a member as you seek to be part of a body. That follows in its fruits. But what we want to stress is that each one of us, again, Christ comes through the benches and he says, you know, have you been born again? Are you walking with me? And as he asks you different questions, and he says, are you serving me? And we don't want to leave out that he's going to ask, are we edifying one another? See, the whole aspect of edifying one another is why it's easier. It's much easier to be here. They can talk all they want. But if I'm over here, I'm kind of separate from all those things. You can't really hold me accountable. And I trust no one's trying not to be held accountable. But just lifting that up, that as we edify each other here, let's not be on the sidelines, but let's be involved. And for some of you, you might wonder, well, is he trying to say that those of you that aren't part of this body are supposed to become part of the body? Again, I don't want to emphasize that you seek membership on its own. I want to emphasize that your heart sees the will of God in being part of a body, not just here, but that you would be drawn to be part of a body where you can edify, where you can be edified, where you can become perfect in Christ, being involved in the working of a body. I think sometimes the membership isn't as much as is the work in our hearts and the work around us that takes place when we're part of a body. And I trust you know, and you would agree also, when you're not really a member, it's a lot easier just to push yourself out. No, you know, we don't really serve. We're always pushing ourselves out. And Christ is asking us to be part together in one. And let us remember that, and this is where we constantly remind ourselves of the ownership part, we are Christ's. And if we testify that we are Christ's, then we have so much to give for him, for he gave his life for us. So having read, I want to insert here Romans 8, verses 1 to 11. In whom, we were just reading verse 22, Ephesians 2, 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So now I would like for us to read, and just to refresh our minds, thinking about what it is to be a child of God, a saint, calling upon the name of the Lord. In verses 17 to 22, it talks about in by one Spirit unto the Father, and we will hear shortly, we're going to read about our spirit and the inner man, and I want us to have this picture clear. And before we read here in Romans chapter 8, I want to just recap this here. So we have us being part of a body, us being part of Christ's family, specifically the family of Christ, his children. And that is all of us looking at each other, and those that are born again, we know that we together are part of his children. And what is the state in the heart at as we are redeemed? Here, verse 20 to 22, you get this picture of this building well built together, and it stands upon Christ and the apostles and prophets. And so we will add here in our thoughts, we will add in all the things that they taught, the things that Jesus Christ taught, the things we read in the New Testament. What is it to be part of this building? And I really want us to stress, and we're going to come as a... May we leap into the next few verses using Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. I'll read. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, there's a very key strong words there. Strong words simply meaning powerful words, victorious words. Victory over sin. So there's no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus. Now, and I know you know this, and I will just speak these thoughts, and may they touch us in some way. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now we're going to go back up. So we are... For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? What's that freedom look like? And it is, again, going back to verse 1 there, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God dwells in us, and we dwell on Him. We love His ways, and as we read, we are no longer foreigners to His ways. When Jesus says to us, thou shalt not steal, we're no longer foreigners to thou shalt not steal. My heart doesn't desire to steal. When He says, worship no other idols, my heart does not desire to worship idols. My heart desires to worship God. So, we are not foreigners to His ways, to His holy ways. We are walking after the Spirit. So we are walking together in this. To walk in the Spirit is to be in this, in that temple, to be built together. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So we'll note those two differences. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. We're going to make a connection here. The connection is, if we are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation to us. We walk in the Spirit. So will we mind the things of the flesh? No, we will not. Again, sanctification is a progress. We're daily growing in sanctification. But our heart is not to walk in the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And this is where you can take away those promises that God gives to us. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. There's another blessed word here. For it is not subject to the law of God. So because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, today, the strongest teaching seems to be that you can live carnally and be a child of God. And they forget that to be carnally minded is to be God's enemy. And then it tells us, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Here it speaks to us. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now I want to go back here, and we read here, those that are sanctified, that is us here, Romans 8, us that are not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Now, I want to, before we read further in Ephesians chapter 3, So those that are not in the flesh, brothers and sisters, as we look one to another and we see my brother and my sister calls upon the name of the Lord, that is a comfort. As we look at each other, we are able to see that this person, my brother here, does not walk after the flesh. My sister does not walk after the flesh. We are walking in Christ. Let us picture, and I'm not sure if I'll say enough that you follow me with this, but I want for us to picture each other that we are striving together to walk in the Spirit. If we wanted to double check and see where is our heart at times, is this a need in my life? Then we would ask ourselves when things go tough. Sometimes they say love is tough. Sometimes your brother or sister has done something wrong, and maybe purposefully, maybe accidentally, whatever it may be. And as they've done us something wrong, or we're offended at them, and we look at them, and what comes to our mind, what comes to our heart? And I'm going to confess here, often to my mind comes an irritation, comes a resistance. And I fall short here. I was so blessed to think again, as I was thinking of this body, and I look at my brothers and sisters, and what I want to lift up here is how would we work together as we realize and strive and encourage each other to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not to be carnally minded. And it builds a trust in a body that is very, very healthy for us. And we'll see a few verses that tell us what strength Christ gives to a body and how we can make a difference. So, as someone has failed us, may our hearts be filled with love to this person or people, and that we would be concerned for them versus resist them. And there's much detail we can give in that, but I was blessed by that. I was blessed to think, I stand here, I observe you, and I am blessed that, yes, it's progress. We're all learning, and I trust that you know the same of me. I have a lot to learn. But we come together, and we are blessed to think that we are seeking the Lord, and we're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. If we are walking in the flesh, then we will have consequences that are a great trial. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. So, speaking about the body and realizing that we're built on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and also on the teachings of the apostles and prophets, which all of that together is the same. It's all one. We are built together. And we are, as we would stand before God, Jesus Christ can enter the door here, and he would, and as he knows our hearts, he would come in and say, "Here are my children." How we would rejoice, rather than him coming in and saying, "Let me see, where are my children?" And so this is what a blessing to come together as a body. So that is, we're built on this foundation, and we're a temple for God to dwell in. Now remember, not just for me. God isn't just dwelling in me here. He's dwelling in me here and you there and someone else over here. All of us together. And I would add that as we desire to be together in a body, it takes a lot of cultivating and it takes a lot of love. And we'll see some of that, what is shared to us of how we need to live. So Ephesians 3 verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, all of us, in heaven and earth is named." We are part of the family of God. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He wants to grant us, and this is, again, to me, a great blessing. If we picture ourselves here, I'm built on Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets. God dwells with us together. And here he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And so I ask myself the question, what do I know? What detail could I give when thinking about the riches of his glory? One glory we have experienced, and that is to be born again, to be his child, to have forgiveness of sin. So that's one. But what else is there? And I trust there is much else. And we experience it day to day as he leads and guides his children. We experience his glory. Could we experience more? And he, again, we'll read the first part there, that he would grant you, us, that he would grant us according to the riches of his glory. So we have something to receive. We have something to receive. Now, thinking of it practically, I'll say it again like this. I fail mentally many times in being content with what I have. We are to be content, as the Bible teaches us, but not in Christ. Sometimes, you know, we're not burdened with conviction. We're not burdened with, the heavy burdens. And so often we're just content. I'm blessed to come to church. I trust I have much reason to be content to be here. And yet I ask God for a greater desire to experience more of his riches according to the riches of his glory, to experience more of him. And so I feel like often that's just a natural. We are blessed and we're thankful. I am thankful. And with that, sometimes I forget that there is much more for us in Christ. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And wanting to go back and to go into the thoughts of Romans chapter 8. Us walking in the Spirit. He wants to strengthen us in the Spirit. And again, the question comes to my mind, how does he want to do that? And what would that look like if he did that? Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, all of us together, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'll read verse 20 there. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we ask ourselves, this morning, as we're gathered together as children of God, what are we asking for? What are we asking? How are we experiencing this great abundance that he wants to give to us? And I think in one strong measure, we can grow in, and he would want us to grow in, our walk with him and experiencing more of him. And the glory is all to him, as verse 21 states, unto him be glory in the church of Christ. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And here we start hearing and receiving words. They are challenging words, but they are still good words to us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So all of Ephesians is based, is written to, yes, it is in, to a church, and how the theme of the Ephesians was, the body of Christ. And so we want to, having that in mind, the body of Christ, reading here Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And so we ask ourselves the question, is there possibility that I would not? Or is he challenging any that be careful that you're walking worthy of what you are called? And that would go back into the Romans chapter 8. Walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Not allowing the not to be carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded. Now verse 2 it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he tells us here how to live with lowliness, with meekness. That is one to another. With longsuffering, we can go to details. What is that? Forbearing one another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this verse here blesses me. It is a tremendous blessing. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. How do we do that? How do you keep the unity of the Spirit? Sometimes we could be focused on, yes, we need to be in unity, and maybe many thoughts and many things apply and how we can be in unity. But the strongest way, the most blessed way to be in unity is when we all together call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When our hearts all together desire Him, like we had the cross here. When all of us together not focus on each other, but focus on Him. When we focus on Jesus, and as we live out this here, Jesus Christ is our foundation, and the teachings that we have, our heart strives to live out the Word of God, the will of God. That is how we keep, that's how we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. The heart of God is not that we would all, like I shared here, the heart of God is not to have a lot of these and say that we are together in unity. That's not the unity He's asking for. The unity He's asking for is this unity, the growing in sanctification, but together with the teachings of Christ in unity. And we might ask ourselves, and here verse 2 applies, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another. All these things are part of being in unity. Sometimes we can maybe get stuck on something and we can't cross that line. We feel like that is just not where we're going. And I'm challenged here when in my thoughts, when I think of these verses, to think that when there's no unity or when you don't have unity, you have sides, you have groups. And as you have groups, the challenge is often, how do you unite groups? And the best way to unite groups is for every part to bow the knee and to seek God. Not seek itself, not seek its whatever, to seek God. You know, I've often been challenged, and we're talking about the body here. I've often been challenged. I was at a workplace once, and a young man was talking to me, and he said he had left the church. And I, in innocence, didn't realize what I was doing, but I asked him, so you're changing, and I was thrilled because I knew him for many years. He had been living in much sin. And I was thinking, wow, this is good. So I asked him, so you're going to that church because you can follow Christ better? And it turned out that was not the case. He was looking for more freedom. He was looking for his personal gains, so he had changed church. And for me, it was like a load of bricks. This man was in much sin. I asked him, as he mentioned it, my heart was just rejoicing. I'm like, he's going to find life. He wants to go where he can serve God. And then it all turned inside out on me, and I felt like it was a load of bricks. So I trust, too, our hearts are not there. Our heart is not to gain more freedom, more of this, independence. But our heart is, as we gather together in a body, that we're seeking the Word of God, the will of God. We're seeking to love each other, that we will be edified. We're seeking to live out lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. Or forbearance with one another in love. I think many of those words on its own can be a message. Then it goes on here, one Lord, which we know. It's one Jesus Christ. It's not many. It's not all kinds. Just one. One Christ died for our sins. It's one faith. That is the faith in Jesus Christ. Not all kinds of faiths, not all kinds of ideas. It is one Lord. It is one faith. And as we're born again and are baptized, it's one baptism. I have been transformed. I've gotten saved. I've been forgiven of my sin. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm baptized, one baptism, because you love Jesus Christ. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Again, to me, those are inspiring words. So we could get together in the afternoon and we are blessed together. God is with me and God is with you. You are walking in the Spirit, I'm walking in the Spirit, and the acknowledgement is, we are growing. Correct? It is not, well, you're perfect, I'm perfect, you know, we've got it all perfect. No, we get together, our heart is loving God, seeking His will, doing His will, as we acknowledge we're growing. So you have areas where you're growing, I have areas where I'm growing, and yet we keep the unity by us seeking Christ. Christ Himself, our strongest desire, seeking Him. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Rejoicing, brothers and sisters, you have gifts. And I know the previous message was mentioned there as well. So I get to come to you and you get to come to me and say, well, brother, I need your gift. Sometimes we shake and we're not sure. Whichever form it comes, He has given us gifts. And I rejoice in it. I rejoice because I see my own need and I'm so blessed by my brothers and sisters who can fill that need that I can't seem to fill. And so we have these gifts. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And here it comes. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. And why? Verse 12. Now let us rejoice together, brother. And we could read Timothy. I know Brother John has had a blessed sharing on Timothy, but elder men, here he is, and I'm going to lift you up a little bit to, you're at a stage in life where you can fill a need that I can't see or can't fill myself, wanting to use this for the perfecting of the saints. Sometimes there are those that feel like they're not very valuable, and yes, you are very, very valuable, whether older or younger. But I thought of you older brothers. Brothers, I think we have more wiser brothers at your age now than we've ever had. And praise the Lord for that. We seek your wisdom. And don't be shy in giving it to us. Do share. So here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, one to the other. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're being warned here. It's giving us a warning of what can take place. So brothers and sisters, take heed. Be careful that you be not deceived. And we could go into more detail and we'll just rephrase the one, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Again, when we look at speaking truth, what is that? Jesus Christ and His teachings. Those are truth. And they can apply in many different ways. It could apply as the elder brother shares with the younger. I remember a minister once who told me I was so excited and couldn't sit still, and he said to me, be still and know that I'm God. And I stood still in my tracks. And it's done something. Well, it just seemed to be the timing for me. I kind of, that was my, and probably still is somewhat my weakness. And I was very, very challenged to allow God to be God and not try to do everything for him, maybe. A brother once said that to me, and I was very challenged. And so he spoke truth. He seen my need. He spoke truth. And I believe it did help. It did help much. So speaking truth in love, and then this helps us to grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All right, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. All right, we want to again picture this here, this temple being built by you and me, by the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ. Now, brother and sister, I would like to challenge you, and you challenge me, we challenge each other, but this here is such a blessing. So Jesus Christ has a place for you and me. And I'm going to add here, I don't think that we should be too concerned about what place we want in this temple. But let us rather seek what God wants for us in this temple. So he wants you in this building. He wants me. We're going to be built together. You're going to use your gift according to God's will for you, and I'm going to use my gift according to God's will for me. And us together, as we seek God, as we call upon Him, living out, as it says here, as every joint supplieth. You know, each one of us is giving what is needed. And that's often, that is why we are there. I'm not sure how to use the physical body as an example, but you have many things. If I tried to lift something with my hand and wanted to drink some here, and I said to my hand, and I've got my hand, so I'm going to grab a cup of water, but my elbow, my muscles won't move. I can't drink. There's a lot of different examples of how things must work together. And so we together are in the same way. As you do yours and I do mine in love, things, as it says here, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And Jesus Christ decided that measure. What measure did He give to you? What measure did He give to me? That in this body, I could live that out, and everything would work together well. And it says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, that is a blessing to you and to me. The blessing is that Christ will give us the grace and the strength to live out His will in this body. The encouragement to you is, do not worry about others, their thoughts of you. Do not be afraid. And pick up that gift He gave you, be willing, and be part of the body. And for the rest of us, for all of us, as we're working together, another verse says that we do not get weary in well-doing. There's much that could be part of this message. That aspect is there as well. Do not be weary, that we would be joyful in serving the Lord, serving for His cause. And I'm going to move on here from Ephesians 4, verse 17. And this here, again, goes through a little bit of what we went through in Romans 8. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of our mind, of their mind. Brothers and sisters, I can testify on your behalf that you do not walk as the Gentiles walk. That is a blessing. I feel ashamed in one sense simply because I feel the lack of my appreciation for that. You know, I can testify on your behalf that you do not walk as the Gentiles walked, that you are walking in the Spirit. You are part of the body. And the amount of labor that gets done by our body, what a blessing. What a tremendous blessing. So, and then it gives some detail about the Gentiles. Verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, even get, even giving themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I rejoice in Christ that he has made me righteous and in true holiness. I rejoice in Jesus Christ that he has done that for you. And the blessing is, as we work together, as we build together, is how we will gain the victory. To gain the victory, I know there's people in places that are Christians that are not part of are not able to be part of a body. We know many Christians suffering and over a length period of time, they're not able to fellowship. But I rejoice that I get to be with brothers and sisters in fellowship, and it makes this walk, this battle in this earth so much easier. Honestly, it makes it so pleasant at times that you forget that you're in this battle. You fellowship with brothers and sisters, and I cannot feel along with those in Afghanistan that are being persecuted for their faith. I can't feel along what that is like. I cannot feel along what it must be like knowing my brother down the street got kidnapped or got arrested or whatever you want to call it by this group. What fear and trembling, what would happen to my brother and my sister? We together come together with ease, with great comfort. We come together in fellowship. So in closing, as I have shared here, we could read 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, which talks of the body. We will not do that. We all are very familiar with that. Just being part of this body, encouraging us that if we are the ear, we are part of the body. If we are the eye, we are part of the body. And again, I really would like to lift up that you are part of the body, and that we would, in love, in Christ, seek to live as part of the body. And for others here that we have, I do know that as far as membership is, as a body, we have probably as many visitors or as many that are not committed as a body to this local body as we do have members. So we're about half and half. And a few thoughts for us here together. We long for those that are, for you that are visiting, we long for you to join us. Not just in Sunday morning service, but join in heart and hand, and that we would work together for the kingdom of God. We would want to be brothers and sisters in unity, in trusting each other, serving God, that we seek to strive to win the victory, and we want to do it together with you. Like I said earlier, that the intention of Christ, and I trust that it's not your intention either, just to be attending, that you're seeking the Lord and what His will is for you. And there is a great work that is done in a group setting when the hearts unite together. And so for any of you that do think about membership, that seek the Lord that you're able to be at a place, wherever it is, that you're able to plug in. And for one of the purposes of serving, that you're able to serve, you're able to be a part, and that we are edifying one another. As we think of this body, we want to remember and rejoice in that we have been redeemed, foremost. Thank God that He is willing to give us eternal life. He has redeemed us. And as we remember that we have been redeemed, let us hear the heartbeat of God and what He wants as a body, local body, global body. Let us hear His heartbeat, and that we can be part of a body, loving each other and all the things that come with it, and working together. And also rejoice and remember how you are part of a dwelling where God dwells. May it help us and inspire us that we have a desire, a growing desire, again to be part of this holy temple where God dwells, as we dwell together and abroad. We are a church, not just Sunday morning. We are a church Monday to Monday, 7 days a week. We are a body, and as we have heard, Brother Henry was sharing, their neighbor, as they were observing, many of you bringing meals to Henry and Susie with relating to their accident there, how many or the neighbor would view how many people were helping them and how blessed they were. And comments like that. And we rejoice, not that we have something to display, but again, confirming that we dwell, that God dwells with us. I'll leave it at that. May God add his blessing.